what
percent of any request over, I mean, under 200,000. It deals with the deallocation process, which today each allocation carried a separate time period, so it just continued to go on and on, whereas today there's a set time limit from the first allocation that if the money's not spent by 4 years from that date, it will be deallocated. And there's also a change to the transfer mechanism where today a board member can transfer funds between projects but only within the same locality. That would now allow the board member to transfer funding between any project in the same district. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would ask your approval.
Mr. Chair, question?
Yes.
Rick, as we look at the budget going forward, how much funds are seen as going into this on an annual basis, and how much of those are automatically reserved for the various TMAs that they allocate? We basically concur with those, but we don't allocate them.
Right. It's a 50-50 share with the TMAs get their money and they're able to spend it however way they seem fit.
That 50% of whatever the state grants goes to the TMAs.
Right. And the remainder goes to the CTB. Most of the TMAs have worked with staff in allocating funds to projects that are already in the pipeline, but there are certain TMAs that have decided to go off on their own and go ahead and fund their projects.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Rick, refresh my memory. Map 21 is in effect only 2 years, and then we got to relook at this again?
Mr. Chairman, Map 21 expires in September of next year.
Mr. Chairman,
you can't make it up.
I won't repeat my voluminous comments from the meetings past, but it's I think whatever whether it's the federal government or the legislature continues to push down sort of one more direction after another direction after another direction, it's not a helpful thing. We had some discussion at the table last night about the Arlington and RICO situation, and you know, if you sort of stood back from that and looked at it without any sort of knowledge whatsoever, you look at it and say, well, why is that?
I mean, why does Arlington get most favored road status?
But why does Arlington
and RICO get most unfavored?
Yeah, and RICO gets most unfavored.
Why are they carved out?
Yeah,
and the answer is, in my view, they shouldn't be. So it's just one more example of sort of overreach, in my opinion. But we don't have any choice about that. We've got to deal with it. And
I will defer to Mr. Walton. I thought in the discussions we had a year and a half ago on that particular issue, VDOT has to recommend and put their mouths in there when it comes to us, but we can change the Arlington and RICO allocations to it. But is that, am I mistaken in that, what I remember?
The Mr. Chairman, the Appropriation Act previously had language wherein the staff would make a recommendation to the board and the board would approve the annual allocation rates to Enrico and Arlington as well as city street maintenance payments. I still believe that's the case, but I'd have to go back. I know that
we could alter that. In other words, we could give them the same rate that the cities get that maintain their own roads.
Mr. Chairman, I wouldn't want to make that commitment. I need to go back. I say historically that's the way it was, but I want to say in the last couple of years that language has come out of the Appropriation Act and the actual dollar amount is set forth in the general law.
That's my understanding.
But I would need to go back and
that's what it is.
I think you're right on the second point.
Yeah, that's right.
My point wasn't to get into any specific thing. It's just an example of sort of reaching out there. And the point of this body, and I've been impressed in my short time here, of how we are, how we keep a statewide perspective. And, you know, it's sort of amazing, or maybe it's not amazing, but it's very, it makes me feel very good that we work well as a body, we understand each other's needs, whether you're rural or urban, or whether you're north or south, or wherever you are. So when you're handcuffed by, you know, legislative action or federal action to do something or sort of chip away at that, I don't think that's in the best interest of the Commonwealth. So it is what it is.
It balkanizes the road system.
Exactly.
Or the transportation system.
So those are my comments.
Okay.
I'm going to support the policy.
Is any, well, is there a...
Move for approval.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The third item is an economic development access resolution and project in the city of Chesapeake. This is something that's come recently to us from the city. There's a 75-acre tract located northeast of the Greenbar Parkway interchange with I-64. I believe it was a former training center, if I'm correct. And anyway, the city has an industry that's interested in going into that parcel of land. There is an existing access point, but not sufficient for the particular industry, so this would be for a new access point off of, I believe it's Greenbrier Circle. It's the name of the road, and we would ask for your approval. Of the
Move project. Approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Just, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Yes, just want to make one note that this would be a very good project. It's an industry that's already located in the city of Chesapeake, and we're in the process here of trying to keep them from moving to another state. So that's the reason the city has requested us to do this. I just wanted the fellow members here to know that.
Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The fourth item, again, last month you had a presentation on a location decision for the Southgate interchange at US 460, what we call the Hokie interchange, the Virginia Tech interchange at 460, and unless you have any further questions, we would ask for your approval of the location.
Move for approval.
Second.
Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
All those, I'm sorry, Mr. Allen.
Yes, just want to make another note too that I took a tour of this project with the MPO staff and Mr. Martin at the time back in March when we had our Lynchburg meeting, and the staff is very encouraged about this project. So again, this will be a very good another project for the region.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The fifth item is a land conveyance of Millwood Avenue in the city of Winchester. Is there anybody behind me? And this is a urban roadway that the city's requested that the right-of-way be transferred to them, which is a routine function, probably should have happened a number of years ago. So we concur in that request and ask for your approval.
Mr. Chairman, I so move.
Second.
Discussion. Was there a second?
Second. Yeah.
Okay, discussion.
I would only say if it ain't broke, don't stir it.
Discussion.
Yes, Ms. Kazinski.
Wasn't there a name change to Dr. Davis instead of Milton?
So moved.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
An evacuation route out of Washington is now closed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next two items, 6 and 7, are limited access control changes. The first one is on Interstate 81 to accommodate a new project dealing with exit 105. And the board had previously designated 81 as a limited access highway. So this is to change those limited access features, and we would ask for your approval of the request.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Good discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my final item, again, a limited access control change on Interstate 66 and Route 15, again, to accommodate a new project in that area to change the limited access features, and we would request your approval.
Motion.
Second.
Okay, discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I just make a note that I had gone reviewed this with Bill Cutler from our Northern Virginia office, and it's in keeping with the major commitment we've made of dollars to this interchange.
Okay, any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item approved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Maintenance, Garrett Moore, Chief Engineer.
Morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. The first item, item number 8, is action on discontinuance of maintenance of a portion of Route 644 in Botetourt County. It is a routine action. It's actually pretty responsible. It's to avoid $180,000 worth of work on a road that is adjacent to a national forest, and the county supervisors have unanimously requested us to discontinue maintenance. It will save us money, and it's, as the county said, it's minimum impact. It's a responsible decision and routine, and we would ask you to take action on that.
Okay, is there a motion?
So move for approval.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Is there discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
The next two items, 9 is the first one, and that's just our bids for the month. I know Mr. Sterling was asking questions early. As of this week, we'll be at about $1.4 billion in advertisement this year, which includes when a design build goes out and RFQs. So we are looking at being well ahead of last year, and we're moving things forward. So if you look at the gross numbers, they're going forward very quickly. So at the end of this week, we'll be about 1.4. It might be 1.38, 1.41, something like that. For this month, as read, we had 23 projects. 3 were special advertisements, smaller, 7 asphalt pavement, and 13 regular advertisements. There's no federal oversight projects. We're recommending for award 22 out of 23 of the projects. We are recommending rejection and re-advertising PM 824, an administrative error on that. Resulted, we believe, in a couple of companies not being able to bid, so we've corrected the error and we're putting that back out again. Projects over $5 million is a PM 913, RAP C28, and RAP C69. These are, one's a traffic project, another one's a paving project, and the third one is the paving is Fairfax Secondary Paving, regional on-call traffic signal, and then another, and bridge replacement over Holston Lake in Washington County. So those are the 3 over the $5 million threshold, total of $46 million in for the June letting. We would recommend these for award.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
As I look at the bids on what we estimated for this particular part of it, the first 2 are relatively close. This last one, the bridge replacement, were what, about more than $5 million. It came in under what we had projected for that phase. Is that correct?
This is, which one?
The bridge replacement over Holston Lake.
Yes, it looks like the
bridge. That's correct.
16 versus we had estimated to be 21.8. Is there any, have you been able to derive what's resulting from that?
Our folks will do go ahead and evaluate those fund balance bids, and that's part of the recommendation. There is nothing that we could probably point at in some of these. People have special circumstances, but if we see unbalanced bid or if we see something that's a flag, we'll start asking questions. But we are generally, and this is anecdotal, we need to go back and look again. We believe we're getting good and competitive bids still that are...
We're just still getting cheaper than what we had.
We still think, we have not seen an uptick yet.
But it looks as though, if I'm just roughly doing the numbers, there's about 20% less on the second one. And if you apply that 20% ratio to the one that was bid for about 16, they're close.
Yeah, it's just you've got a bigger number because it's a higher value.
On this topic, Mr. Chairman, I know we've had a few projects where we may be a $100 million project, $4 or $5 million difference in terms of what our estimates are versus our bidding. And so wouldn't this entice us to just get these things to contract to get the real number? I mean, in other words, I'm sure because our bidding, we go through and do it and we say, well, we can't put it to contract yet. We don't have $5 million to put on this project. But yet we know we're going to get probably a reduction, and I know we moved 564 that way, the Lester Bridge is moving forward that way, but it just seems like, with this history, that would be something to do with these projects to keep them out the door.
And that's exactly what we're trying to do with that book there, and identify the projects, move them out as quickly as possible. But as Mr. Sterling said, there are certain things we just...
I know right away. I know if they're right away holdups, that's an issue. But at least in terms, you know, I think that would be a good way to cut through some of this.
And identify the real number.
Identify the real number and so we know what we're dealing with.
You don't see it for paving projects, but we've had good numbers. But we've actually been putting more of those out. That's why they're coming this late in the season. We get low bids. Some of this money will go back into preliminary engineering because you've got to prime the pump for the ones that require design.
Is it still the policy that all the savings on these projects go into projects in the Fredericksburg district?
Please do.
Actually, they're going to Arlington.
Well, actually, it's Henrico needs it.
Well, Mr. Lane, getting back to your point, to put those out quickly, in the paving area, we did do close to $100 million. Putting that on the street.
But those are going out here in the next few weeks.
And that is out of cycle. We typically would not put that out until maybe October, but we tried to put it out early for purposes of getting that number and seeing what that real cost will be.
Yeah, the gross numbers you'll see go out this year, and this is what I was trying to say with Mr. Sterling's question, are going to be quite a bit higher than last year. We're already about, or maybe even ahead of where we were at the end of December.
Mr. Chairman,
at what point of the time frame did we come up with the 23.5 bid estimate? Was that recent or was that some years ago?
On these projects?
On this third project.
They're updated generally twice a year, so the estimate is looked at again before it goes out to advertisement. And our estimating system, we tend to use historical data, but you know, even when we estimate, it's still an estimate. If you do anybody that does, knowing that does takeoffs in the construction industry, the bids are what the bids are. And I think the earlier question about was there something different on the bridge? Well, you know, part of that is us evaluating, is that a responsible bid? Because you know, the construction guys will tell you anybody can win a bid, but it's another thing to still be on your feet after it's over. So we find sometimes people are in special circumstances where they are already mobilized on another project, maybe not even a VDOT project, and they can save money by moving equipment. So those are some of the things we need to look at, and our estimates are hard to capture that. But our estimates are it's very difficult to look forward. That's why we need to be able to tell if the economy is really recovering. If we start seeing bids that are even and start to creep up, we know there's going to be, I need to talk to Rita then, because then we know there might be some sort of inflection going on in the industry that we need to look at what we're doing.
But the winning bid was 16.2. What were the other bids that were submitted?
I don't have them with me. I don't have
that.
Them.
That would be your barometer as to whether or not our estimates were out of line or whether we just had a lowball.
Sometimes, yes, sir. Or somebody has special circumstances. Like I said, I've known contractors that if they're working close by or something that they can really do it cheaper, because they just happen to be there, they know where to get the borrow from, they're making money on both ends of what they're doing sometimes. Yes, sir.
Mr. Lauterbach.
Yeah. Mr. Moore, question on getting our estimates. When we go out, I know like when we go for paving and things like that, we call up asphalt suppliers, that type of thing, and find out what the rates are. Do we identify ourselves as VDOT when we call and ask for that estimate or that price? My point is that if a company goes out and asks for it, they'll of course identify who they are because they're going to be maybe dealing with them or already dealing with them, and they just want to know the latest price. But I'm wondering, do we, when we go out and get our estimates, do we ask for the estimate and say who we are? And the reason I'm getting to that point is it quite often the mentality is if the government's asking a figure, you can add a little bit to it because the government, you can raise the price on government.
And we typically don't make those calls. They're from recent historical data, and we also have the monthly asphalt adjustments that come in from industry that tell us where things are at and where we think they're going. So we're not usually making calls out to, now, although we do it in some cases, it's not generally part of our estimating to go out and make three calls when we do it.
So you don't do random sampling to find out if you know, just kind of what the prices are and if they're relevant to what...
We have, but we usually have better data on actual recent costs that we use that we find is that works well. And again, then you don't have somebody just trying to quote you something that day. You try to use recent historical data.
So I think there are two processes that we use in developing the estimates. One of those processes, and you see the numbers incorporated into the six-year program, we relied, the chief engineer said, we have a database of items and amounts, and it's averaged over a certain period of time, and we use that to develop the estimates that you see. But there is another process, and I hate to call it a secret process, But we do have where the engineer will have a chief engineer's estimate that is not published. And that estimate is, we will make certain calls in developing that estimate to determine what the price would be. And that estimate is not disclosed to the public. It is not open to the Freedom of Information. And when the staff evaluates the bids that come in, they are comparing that to the chief engineer's estimate that we have developed. And that number is not publicized, and we use that to determine if the bids that are coming in are reasonable. Then once they make that comparison to the overall bids, they actually go into the detail of the bid, and you look for items that are unbalanced, and that is that a person bids zero on a certain amount when we know that the cost should have really been $100,000. You look for those types of scenarios within the bid detail. And you then look for the contractor's ability to deliver. So there's a very elaborate process that they go through in evaluating these bids that come in and also developing the bids. These numbers that you see here in parentheses, those are the numbers that are included in the six-year program. But there's another estimate that we really go through and do a lot of calls and checking to make certain our numbers are pretty accurate, and that is not disclosed to the public. But we use that in evaluating these bids as well.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chairman, on that point you just made about the figure in parentheses being on the six-year plan, how frequently was that updated? In other words, that's not six-year-old data. That's something that's within...
That's updated, I believe, twice a year.
About twice a year and just before it goes out. And to be frank, the stuff that's 6 years out is, I mean, it's fuzzy. And as you get closer in, within a year, you've got much better information like anything else. And those two bids are compared. I mean, there are things that can really kick an estimate out, you know. If one contractor is using one haul distance because he can get a material, 10 minutes away, that's, as opposed to an hour away, there are things that can really kick costs. And so we look at those things pretty hard if there's something that just doesn't look right. And then oftentimes when you do it, it's just a matter of they were able to get a product that was either closer or borrow or something like that at a closer distance, which it's helped some of them win the job. You know, they just are a little more aggressive and can get to a spot where they get their material a little closer, a little cheaper, and get a little better margin on it.
Chairman.
Yes.
I don't quite understand then. What is the 23.5 number if the 21 number is the six-year plan number?
The 21.5 is related to the construction portion of the project. Is that correct?
It pulls out
the CEI costs out of that number.
Yeah.
The construction phase number was 23. I'm having a hard time reading it. 23.
21 is the contract itself.
Yeah.
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought you said the 21 in parentheses was the six-year plan number.
It is included in the six-year plan as a part of the 23 is the number in the six-year program.
Okay.
But of that 23, 21 actually relates to the contract.
I understand.
Now you got me. 21 actually relates to the contractor?
To the contract. In other words, there are management costs that will be included in the 23.
So the number we ought to be, the numbers we ought to be comparing are the 21 and the 16.
That's
yes.
what we do.
Yes.
That's
the 21.
That's 20. Yes. That's correct.
The contract just covers what would have been in the 21.
Right. Yes, sir.
Hard cost, not the...
Okay.
And we request you consider the bids for award.
So, move approval.
Is that second. A move approval
of all three?
Of all three. Right. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item's approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more.
The last item is we are requesting basically the board to consider giving the commissioner authority to award the I-66 widening from Gainesville to Haymarket. The reason we were requesting this is that the submissions came in early June, but there's a selection process that includes evaluating the proposals that they've put in to see that they work, and then opening the bids to see if, and then also to get federal approval. And we're asking for this to be given to the commissioner because with the not having the August CTB meeting, we are probably about 2 weeks from the window of being able to make sure we have a valid, responsible, and responsive bidder to award this to, and we just did not want to hold the project up for 6 weeks or so while we were waiting for another board meeting. They're in the middle of it right now. We actually have had open bids on it, and right now they've got to go through the kind of final phases of making sure they've got all their documentation in. We've got federal approval, and make sure that everything is responsible and responsive before going to award. We would ask that you consider that so that we can get about 6 weeks on the project so that we stay ahead on the completion date.
Motion.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I approve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
New business.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, under new business, in front of you, you all have a copy of a resolution dated 17 July, titled Revised Improvement Concept Approval, I-66 Corridor. In May, this august body passed a resolution that allowed us to examine several concepts as we move into what we call the Tier 2 studies on improving the congestion that exists in probably the worst spot in the Commonwealth on Interstate 66 from the Beltway all the way out to I-15 and the new interchange we're doing out there. Those concepts did not include looking into the possibility of mass transit, and I think in talking with the secretary and the district and many interested parties, including NVTA, Northern Virginia Transportation Authority, that we would be remiss if we did not include looking into at least the concepts of a metro rail extension, which may be very limited because of the fiscal impact of metro being extended, but also the light rail possibility and an extension of VRE as well. So we want to just add those concepts to be studied to the list, and that's all this resolution really is about. And I would ask the CTB's acknowledgement of adding these and also their approval. And I motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I approve. Thank you. Any other new business?
Chairman, just would like to thank the board and the secretary's office and yourself and Carol for all her work of having this joint meeting with the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel and last evening and bringing those two groups together. So I appreciate all my colleagues participating last night. I just want to thank everybody.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Jeff, thank you very much for having us.
Thank you, sir.
I really enjoyed it. I think it was a good evening. Any other new business? Okay, then I will turn to me.
Thank you. We don't need an office.
I've heard it on the dot. All right.